Hello everyone, my name is Jane E and I am joined with Crystal, my classmate. And today I will focus on, in this podcast, I will focus on the toxicity of romantic relationships among Latina youth. As you can see, the title of today's podcast is It Is Not Worth It. And throughout the episode, further into the episode, we're going to go deep and we're going to explain why I titled this podcast, It Is Not Worth It. My topic will explore the lack of sexual and healthy relationships that are taught among Latina youth and the effects of it. We discuss in my course the unhealthy perceptions and ideas that Latina young girls have about relationships. The concepts of Marianismo and masculinity play a huge role in Hispanic culture, which pressures young women to remain virgins until they are married. When it comes down to Hispanic parents who come to America to give their children a better education, they heavily preach the importance of putting their children, their education first and not focusing on boys. Regardless of the advice being told by their parents, parents, especially those who work, often can't regulate or track their child's every move, right? Which results in their child doing what they want to do anyway. Two of those things are dating and having sex. I understand that in Latina culture, it is uncommon for parents to educate their children about sexual health and the importance of protecting themselves for the most part. Because of that, Latina adolescents end up in extremely destructive relationships and may catch sexually transmitted diseases. I found interest in this topic because I just heavily dislike the views young Latinas had on relationships and the lengths that they would go just to keep one. And being educated about sexual health, healthy relationships, and most importantly, self-love can get rid of this mindset. And here in this podcast, I'm going to interview Crystal, and I'll be asking her questions, several questions about, you know, adolescence, romantic relationships, the reoccurrences, and I will allow her to share her experience very, very soon. That's going to be very interesting. And I'll also be using a few journal articles to support my position and what I believe about this topic. So getting right into it, to begin my topic about toxicity of romantic relationships among Latina youth, I would like to include information from The Impact of Relationship Education on Adolescents of Diverse Backgrounds by Francesca Adler Boyder, Jennifer L. Kerpelman, David G. Scram, Brian Higginbottom, and Amber Polk. This article was first published on June 12, 2007. And as part of the Federal Deficit Reduction Act of 2005, the U.S. government at that time appropriated $500 million over the next 5 years for marriage strengthening activities. The money was used to support new and existing educational programs designed to cultivate the skills necessary to form and sustain healthy marriages. Wow. The legislation specifically authorized relationship education in high schools as one of the 8 allowable activities. I never knew about this act, but I'm glad that it was implemented and aimed specifically at high school students to become adolescents, because adolescents need education on relationships and what it means to be in a healthy relationship. This is definitely money well spent. According to the same article, it is during the high school years that many adolescents begin dating and forming other bonds and relationships with friends, which I agree with. As adolescents enter the dating years, many of them will experience relationship problems, including relationship violence. Yes, that I agree as well. Now, listen to this. Perpetration estimates of any type of adolescent physical dating violence range from 11 to 41%, with 4 to 14% of adolescents reportedly using forms of violence that are likely to result in serious physical injury. That is an insane percentage. I'm keeping in mind that this article was published in 2007, and that was the percentage. That is very alarming. It was also found that psychological aggression, for example, control and jealousy, was significantly associated with physical aggression, both concurrently and 3 months later. With that being said, I do think that dating is a normal part of life, and it can be positive and a learning experience. There is a lot to learn and to understand when a teenager enters a relationship. Although a relationship should obviously never reach the point of physical or emotional abuse, it is important to note that conflict is inevitable, to be honest. However, after conflict should immediately come communication and resolution. And understandably, it is expected that most adolescents wouldn't know how to resolve a conflict because their emotions are all over the place and they think with their heart, especially when it's their first relationship and they believe that they will be together with this person forever. But according to the article, when relationships are healthy, adolescent dating builds self-competence and self-worth, which I'm going to touch on more in depth in this podcast, and provides opportunities to practice conflict management and negotiate trust, and allows adolescents to learn lessons regarding how to form, maintain, and end relationships. Another thing that I found interesting in this article is that for adolescents from low-income communities or low-income families, education and training in healthy relationship behaviors and attitude may be especially beneficial to them because low-income and minority youth may be disadvantaged as they are more likely to have experienced family structures that are prone to unhealthy patterns of interaction and relationships instability. Where economic conditions are poor, prospects for quality of life, healthy human development, and family stability are poor as well. Those are such true statements and that's why I give young Latina or any, you know, girl that is in a low-income, you know, community grace and understanding, because most of their parents come here to better their lives and give their children the best. But because of the lack of, you know, time that the parents have since they're working and are busy, time to discuss relationships are not there, and time to discuss communication is in fact not present. On top of that, most immigrant parents do not even know about these things, so their children are forced to learn about them on their own. The next article by Jen M. Lilly, Susan R. Pace, and Maddox C. Emmerich, in this article, it's called "You Itsu Novio, Where Is Your Boyfriend?" which is a cultural ecological analysis of Latina's narratives of teen dating experiences, dating and sexuality within a Latinx cultural context. It's highly influenced by traditional cultural norms surrounding family and gender roles that is transmitted to youth through their family system. One second, let me check the time on this podcast episode. Ladies and gentlemen, okay, we're good on time. Transmitted to youth through their family system. Latinx families often place a high value on familismo, or the importance of family togetherness, solidarity, and stability, which is considered a source of strength and support, especially for Latinx ethnic minority families in the U.S. Familismo prioritizes family loyalty and well-being over individual needs. Wow. Research suggests that familismo encourages Latina young people to focus on family obligation and seek family approval for their choices, including those related to dating and sexuality. Machismo, which is another Latinx cultural value that emphasizes virility, strength, and the right to dominate women. It is a masculine gender ideology. Marianismo, on the other hand, is a female gender ideology that emphasizes submissiveness, chastity, and motherhood. These gender roles are rooted in patriarchy and are reinforced by religious beliefs that maintain heteronormativity. In heterosexual relationships, Latina girls/women, girls and women and or women are often encouraged to date or be the ones to maintain relational harmony, place their partner's desires above their own well-being, curb their sexuality, and remain faithful even though it is not even reciprocated by or expected by the male partner. And because of the cultural differences, teen dating activities can be a source of tension between Latina adolescents and their parents, especially since rules around dating tend to be stricter for daughters than sons. One study revealed that Latinx parents were concerned about protecting daughters from male exploitation and premarital pregnancy, and implemented rules meant to prohibit or strictly monitor daughters' dating activity. Again, all of this information is from E to Novio article, and this is all my information, and this is all information that I learned in my Family and Gender Relations Among Latinos course. Machismo and Marianismo are definitely two ideologies that can be very damaging to a young Latina's view on relationships and how they handle mistreatment. Latina adolescents experiences among the highest rates of both physical and sexual dating violence in the U.S. and are more likely to experience adverse psychological consequences as a result. So this brings me to the topic of relationship power, control, and dating violence among Latina girls, which the title of the journal article, which is the title of the journal article by Vera Lopez, Mita Chesney Lind, and Julia Foley. In this article, researchers examine how Latina girls interpret power and control within their relationships and how these processes relate to dating violence. Participants were 18 Latina girls between the ages of 14 and 18 who were living in a residential treatment home in a large southwestern city. 15 of the girls were currently involved with older boyfriends. The boys' control strategies included regulated their girlfriend's appearances, behaviors, and relationships with others, cheating or threatening to cheat, and violence and intimidation. These are certainly things that I am not new to and new to experiencing personally, and it's definitely methods that young men, teenage boys, definitely do to hurt their girlfriends, and definitely do with no emotion to affect their girlfriend's self-esteem and the way they feel about themselves, which is terrible. But one account of boys regulating their girlfriend's appearance is 14-year-old Nina, who described how her 15-year-old boyfriend tried to control how she dressed. She stated, and get this, she stated that he really didn't like me wearing shirts or low-cut shirts because he didn't want people to see me. He didn't want guys to see that. Wow, a 14-year-old girl having to regulate what she wore simply because her boyfriend said so? She wouldn't have to be concerned with what her... She shouldn't have to be concerned with what her boyfriend says because she is a young, growing girl. And even if, her mother should be in charge of that. Her father should be in charge of that. Not her boyfriend. Especially her 14-year-old boyfriend. Infidelity is used to gain control in the relationship. 16-year-old Ashley recalled catching her boyfriend cheating when she entered his room unannounced. She said he was watching a movie with some girl in the bed. And I'm like, oh my God, I was so shocked. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't say nothing. I just stood there still. He was like, I'm sorry. I was like, was this the first time? He was all like, yeah. But I was like, okay, whatever. I don't want to talk to you. One account of physical violence was with 14-year-old Lydia and her 19-year-old boyfriend. She said that her boyfriend's violence was rooted in jealousy and possessiveness. He said, I was messing with his brother. This is what Lydia said. Lydia said that her boyfriend at the time assumed that she was messing with his brother. And, you know, she said, I wasn't. And he punched her in the head. And I had a big old bump, she said. Then he choked me and pushed me up against the wall. I was like, oh my God. Girls' counter strategies included lying, flirting, cheating, reactive aggression and violence, openly defying / breaking up, and maintaining emotional distance. And what I have to say is, can you really blame them? Can you really blame them? I mean, these are reactive actions. These are actions that they decided to do because of the way they were treated, because of the way their so-called boyfriends, you know, viewed them. And like any other person who values themselves, who should prioritize themselves, especially at a young age, is going to fight back, is going to, you know, I guess you could say rebel against the abuse, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical. So, well, all I can say is that I don't blame these young women, these young girls, and I definitely am not upset with it. These are obviously actions that are taken in response to the abuse, and any person would definitely be tired of it, especially at their young age. So, whew, that was a long read from these several articles. These are very informative articles and very, very knowledgeable articles that I feel like, you know, young teens should definitely read. Give it a try and read. You know, you're never alone. You're not the only one experiencing these things, and you shouldn't feel alone. So, now for the moment that everybody has been waiting for, my lovely guest is here. It's finally time for me to interview her, who is... Introduce yourself, please. Would you don't have to insert this, but would you like to tell the audience, you know, where you were born and raised or where you currently reside and your age? Okay. Just give me 1 second. I'm sorry. I just want to check if your voice can be heard on the audio. So, yes. So you were born and raised in Puerto Rico, and oh. Okay. Interesting. That's really nice to know. So I have several questions for you, considering the fact that you are a Latina woman, and you definitely, well, I don't want to say you definitely, but I'm assuming that you have experience in relationships, or, you know, you've had relationships in the past, or a relationship in the past. So, do you mind answering these questions for me? They're like brief, but I feel like it'll be very informative for young girls out there that might be in their first relationship and they're really not knowledgeable on how a relationship should be. So thank you. So my first question for you is, how old were you when you first got into a relationship?
Yeah, I was about 15 when I got into my first relationship.
Okay, so 15, okay. Mm-hmm. How would you describe your first relationship?
Well, so my first relationship, I thought that was the man I was gonna marry. Honestly, that was my first love. I actually read that once, like, basically in your lifetime, you have three loves. Mm-hmm. So the first one is basically the one that you think you're going to be with your whole life, but that's the one that teaches you, like, what love is.
Yeah.
And then the second one is basically, like, the toxic one that you know that you shouldn't be with him, but you still want to be with him because you think you can make him better.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one, that's the one that comes when you least expect it, and then that's the one that you basically end up, you know, getting married with and being with.
Yeah, I definitely heard that before.
Right. But coming back to the question, but yeah, like, I thought, like, me being a young girl, I thought that, you know, we had a good relationship. Everything was just perfect. But then later on in the relationship, I realized that he was actually cheating on me. And I didn't even know because, you know, I was so naive. That was my first boyfriend.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that leads me to, you know, the third question. Was it toxic or was it healthy? And if it wasn't toxic, did it become that? I mean,
it was like, so, like, for me, at the beginning, I thought it was a healthy relationship, you know, because the way he was portraying himself, he was portraying like he was the perfect boyfriend, that he didn't do anything wrong. And then my friends, they started telling me, like, oh, you saw that this girl posted a picture with him? And I was like, no, what do you mean? And they were like, yeah, it's on his Facebook. Like, when you go into his Facebook, you can see the picture. So what he did was, since he had my Facebook password, he blocked that girl so I wouldn't see anything that she posted. And then he blocked me from her Facebook. So it's like, if we posted, like, if I posted a picture with him, she wouldn't be able to see it. And if she posted a picture with him, I wouldn't be able to see it. You see how sneaky?
That's very sneaky. Very.
It was. Yeah, so it was a toxic relationship, but I guess I just was too naive to notice.
And I can definitely relate to that in terms of, you know, in the beginning, thinking that this is somebody that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, mm-hmm. and they portray themselves as being, you know, just an ideal man and showing aspects of himself that eventually we found out that it's not true. It's not really him. He was just putting up a front. I don't know if you said this earlier. If you did, I'm so sorry. But how old was your boyfriend at that time?
I actually didn't say. If I was 15, so he was older than me.
Okay.
I was 15. He was like, what, like 18, 19, around there.
Okay.
I think he was like 18. I mean, I don't. Girl, it was a while ago, so I don't remember the details too much, but yeah.
Okay.
I know he was way older than me.
Okay.
He wasn't even in school anymore. I mean, he had dropped out, but he wasn't in school or anything.
Got you. How long did this relationship last?
We had like a on and off, so it was like about 2 years, I'll say.
Okay, so that's pretty short. Well, not short,
yeah.
But you know.
Yeah.
So, my next question is, what are some things that you didn't know then that you had to grow to learn after the relationship ended?
Something I learned was to, like, be more attentive to things, because it's like when you're in love, and I quote, when you're in love, it's like you tend to basically, how do you say this, like, not put too much attention to the things that you should. So it's like, people will always show you who they are. You just have to be smart enough to, like, realize, you know?
Yeah.
And instead of saying, oh, no, he'll change. Oh,
no.
He's not like that. Like, no, see people for their true colors. Don't try to paint them a different color.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's something that I learned, because I feel like the signs were there that he was cheating on me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that I was basically trying to, like, put it off. Like, oh, no, he wouldn't do that to me because he has me on his profile. He has a relationship with me, so he will never cheat on me. Mm. Yeah, right.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
You didn't trust your intuition, and that's something
exactly.
that I also didn't do in my first relationship, and the signs were all
mm-hmm.
there. Like,
They were all there.
I felt like such a fool. I felt so stupid.
For real.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
You learn, right?
Exactly. That's the most important thing about it, you know? That's what life is about.
Exactly.
So, That brings me to like my next question, which I'm gonna hit on towards the end of this podcast episode. But did you receive any advice, relationship advice specifically from your parents? And if yes, what was the advice? If no, why do you think not?
I mean, I never received like dating advice from my mother. But it was the advice that I received from her were like, don't date, you're too young, don't have a boyfriend, focus on your schoolwork and all that stuff. Sorry, can you give me a second really quickly?
Let me pause.
So yeah, so my mom, she didn't really like give me dating advice like, oh, you know, when you date, look for this kind of guy. It was more like, no, you're not dating, period. You're too young, and that's not what we do here. You need to focus on your schoolwork, blah 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 blah. And I feel like my mom, she was very strict with me growing up. And we didn't really have a good relationship because it's like she wouldn't let me do anything, you know? So I feel like a lot of Latino parents, they tend to do that. They tend to be like very strict with their daughters. And what that does is like when somebody's trying to hold you just wanna get free, you know? So I feel like that's what happened. So the more she would be like, don't date, that's when I would date, you know? And I feel like things would have been different if instead of saying don't date, instead of saying that, she would have been like, listen, you know, if you have a boyfriend or whatever, you know, like bring him home so I can meet him. And I feel like that would have been better because my mom would have been able to see that he was, you know, a piece of
Yeah,
doo-doo.
absolutely.
You know, instead of me having to find out the hard way.
Right. Wow, that's so interesting because on one side we have parents who are like, super super like free with their kids and let their kids experience life so that they can, know for themselves. They'll give them advice and they'll tell them this is what you have to watch out for, X, Y, and Z. But they'll still let their kids go and, experience life on their own. And on the other hand, we have strict parents that just are not going for any of that whatsoever. And so you have to sneak and you have to.
Exactly.
So, moving on to the next question, did your parents know about your first relationship?
She did know. So basically, she found out. That's what it was. It wasn't that like I told her or anyone told her. She kind of like found out because she found like pictures of us like kissing and stuff. And she did know him because I, you know, like he went to my house as a friend, not as like my boyfriend. Because like I said, my mom was very strict. So, you know, she knew like we liked each other and stuff, but. She didn't think like anything of it. She just thought that it was that we liked each other. But then she found out pictures of us kissing, and then that's how she found out. It wasn't great. Let's just say that.
I would have been so scared. Oh my God.
Oh God, I
Woo.
got my butt whooped. Let's just say that.
Oh my gosh. So, did you apply like every advice that was given to from your parents to relationships, or did you select a few of them to apply? I know you said that your mom rarely like, gave you relationship advice, but she did tell you, to focus on your school, focus on school and your education. So
Yeah, it wasn't that she didn't like, she did give me relationship advice, but like when it was more like, you know, focus on school, boys are just gonna play you, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
But
okay.
when she did give me advice, it was very good advice, honestly. Like, I wouldn't say when I was younger, but more so like when I started getting older, that I was like, you know, 18, 20, when I was already like in college. She did started giving me more advice about dating, like, you know, always make the man respect you, and you always have to like respect yourself, because if you don't respect yourself, nobody else is,
right,
or would. Something like, so when I was younger, something I noticed when I was younger, I used to like to wear like crop tops, mm-hmm. showing my belly button and all that stuff, but my mom, she will never let me leave the house like that. So now that I'm older, I can't leave the house like that, because it's things that just like stay with you. So I honestly like appreciate my mom being like that with me, because I feel like when, I mean, like, you could dress however you want to dress, but certain type of clothes at the end of the day say things about you, even if you don't want to.
That's,
you know,
true. Mm-hmm.
So the more revealing you dress yourself, the less people are gonna think that you respect yourself, and that's how men are gonna treat you, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that stuck with me, and that's something that I have seen, you know. So I'm glad that my mom said that to me, because it's things that was something that stuck to me. And how that applies to relationship is that when you respect yourself and you dress well and you behave well, men are gonna value you more, because they're gonna be like, listen, this girl is not like other girls. Like, look how she dressed, look how she acts, you know.
Definitely. And it's a hard pill for some women to, you know, swallow, but that's the truth. If you dress like respectfully, you men will not even think about trying to mm-hmm. like disrespect you in public, or try to you know just embarrass you, or because you know that you mean business by the way you present yourself, the way you walk, the way you dress.
Exactly.
So that's very important. Wow, that's
yeah,
so nice.
Is.
Okay, let me see. So
also another one, sorry.
Yeah.
Another good advice my mom gave me was, as a woman, you never go out the house without money. It doesn't matter if a man asks you on a date. It doesn't matter if one of your friends asks you on a date. If you don't have money to pay for your food and that person's food, don't leave the house, which is very important. Because nowadays, a lot of men will ask you, let's go on a date. When they see the bill, they be like, so are we splitting this bill? And if you don't have money, guess what? You're going to look stupid, or they're going to ask for something else in return. So,
Yeah, I kind of have like views on that, but it's okay, we can talk about that off, you know, behind, you know, in private.
Yeah.
But
that's another topic.
Yeah, that's another topic, definitely. But reflecting back on your experiences in relationships, what is your view on young Latinas entering relationships at such a young age and the toxicity that can come with it?
Honestly, like, I'm sorry, I feel like I answer all my questions by saying honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say that honestly, after I became older, I realized that my mom was right. When you're young, I feel like that's not really the time to date, because it's like the mind doesn't understand or see certain things. And a lot of the times, I would say, shoot, like 95% of the time, when you get into a relationship young, that relationship at some point is going to be toxic, because it's like you don't really know how to manage your emotions, or how to handle certain situations, or how to approach certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why a lot of relationships, when you start dating young, become toxic, because it's like, oh, he's talking to another girl. You just want to slap him, right? You just want to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing that, it's better to walk away. But as a young person, sometimes we don't think like that. Sometimes we think like, oh, I'm just going to slap him, and we're going to go back to being happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when things become, you hit me, I hit you, and then it just becomes this toxic cycle that when you grow up, you keep doing that toxic cycle because you don't know any better. You think that that's how relationships should be.
Yeah.
So honestly, I feel like if people can hold off, you know, like date when they're a little bit older, especially us women, it will be better. Because, mm-hmm. you know, Latinas, we tend to have a little temper.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not, but, you know, since we're talking about Latinas.
Yeah, absolutely. The next question I have is, how can young Latina women focus on self-love rather than finding love in guys or relationships?
That's a really good question. Honestly, I feel like setting goals for yourself, mm-hmm. At a young age is a good way for women to set their eyes on a goal instead of, you know, like focusing on boys, and that also creates self-love. So we live in a generation where, you know, like it's kind of easier to do things now. So what I mean by that is easier for you to work out at home because there's so many videos, you know, there's so many videos teaching you how to work out, teaching you how to do things.
Yeah.
So I feel like when you focus on certain goals, like, you know what, okay, I'm 15, but I want to be a doctor. You start looking into what it takes for you to become a doctor and you set a goal, it'll be easier for you to focus on that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm 15, but I have a belly and my self-esteem is now where I want it to be. Like, I want to feel better about myself. Let me start working out. You know, it's easier for you to work out because there's so many YouTube videos on how you can work out at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like setting goals is a good way to set that self-love and focus on yourself.
I agree. Setting goals is definitely something that young girls can just learn to do to get their minds right, their mental health right. If they don't even want to, you know, if they just want to write their goals down and dispose of it, they can burn, like, the paper after they write it down. You know, they don't have to keep it. But that's definitely something that young girls should look towards doing. And that's absolutely great advice for me, too, because I never really did that growing up. And I had to bottle up, you know, my emotions and thoughts and everything like that. I didn't like to share the stuff with
same.
People. So.
Yeah, honestly, same thing. I wish, you know, I would have set my goals at a young age because I feel like also that would have saved me a lot of time. I changed my major like 3 times because I didn't know what the heck I was gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like when you're young, there's so many things for you to do. You know, they have like summer youth program that you can work in the summer. You don't have to be all lovey-dovey just waiting for that boy to text you all summer. No, you could be out there getting your money, getting experience,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's something I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I wish other girls would know, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it starts from age 14. So,
yep.
Summer youth, girls, get on it. Get on it.
Get on it. Yep, definitely. Start getting that money, save up. Buy whatever you gotta buy.
Yeah.
Help your parents out. Whatever you gotta do.
Whatever you gotta do. There's resources everywhere. And we shouldn't hold our hands together and put our knees together and just sit down. And, you know, I know it's tough sometimes. But just know that there's always something and always somebody for you. That somebody you can talk to. A stranger.
Yeah.
That wouldn't even, you know, wouldn't even take your problems and go and spread it. And they're just here to listen. And they're just here to be an ear, an open ear.
Uh-huh.
So just know that. And the last and final question is, it's a long one, but do you think the mindset of young Latina women in regards to relationships, going into romantic relationships early and undergoing toxicity can change going forward? Or do you think it is essential for them to learn lessons and have an idea of what a healthy relationship is as they get older? So I'm going to let you answer that. If you want me to repeat it, I can definitely repeat it. It's a long one.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
I heard it. So honestly, sorry, I don't know why I answer all my questions like this.
It's okay.
So going into romantic relationship early, and undergoing toxicity can change going forward. I mean, it depends on the person. I feel like that's the only real answer I can give you, because if you don't decide to change, your situation is not gonna change by itself. Mm-hmm. So when you start, like I said, when you start early dating and, you know, that guy, he cheats on you, he talks to your friend, you stop talking to your friend, but you keep being with him, you break his phone, you go through his Instagram, you go through his likes, that's a toxic relationship. When that's the first relationship that you have, and then your second relationship is the same way, you would think that that's how relationships are supposed to be. But honestly, the relationships are being like that is because of you, because you're not knowing how to walk away when you see toxic. Instead, you're staying and trying to change that person, but that person already showed you who they are, so they're not gonna change. So a lot of women, you see them 30, 40, even 50 years old and still being in a toxic relationship. Why? Because they think that's the way it's supposed to be. And then when you tell them that you have a good relationship, they're like, oh yeah, that man probably cheating behind your back and you just too stupid to notice, because they think that that's how all relationships have to be. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, I feel like that's a lesson that you learn. But if it's not a lesson that you're learning and walking away from, and, you know, how do you say this? Learning from your mistakes and not making them in the future, that's just going to be a cycle.
Exactly.
It's just going to be a cycle. It's going to be, every relationship is just going to be like that until you don't break that cycle. So it is essential for them to learn lessons. And have an idea of what a healthy relationship is when they get older. But it's like, if they're not getting out of that toxic relationship, they're never gonna learn.
Yeah,
you know.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful answers, Crystal. Like, I felt like you were schooling me. Like, oh god. Oh, okay.
I've been through it. That's why, you know, I'm talking from experience. Mm-hmm. I've been in a lot of toxic relationships, and I learned. You know, you live and you learn. And thank God the relationship I have now is nothing toxic. Why? Because I learned from my past, and I made sure that that was not my present. Mm. But, you know, that's things that as women we need to learn. We need to, I feel like the whole thing with this is that self-love. When you love yourself, you know when to walk away.
Ooh,
that's just it.
Period, yes.
When you have self-love, you will know when to walk away. Okay, you're not valuing me. You're talking to other women. You're making me feel like I'm not enough. When I know I'm not enough, guess what? I'm going to walk away and let you do you. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna break your phone. I'm not gonna tell you to delete that girl. No, I'm just gonna walk away.
Self-love, and that's something that is really, I'm gonna get into that, because that really is the premise of this whole podcast episode. Uh-huh. Honestly, it's self-love. So, but just thank you so much, Crystal, for your time, taking the time out of your schedule to for me to interview you. I really, really do appreciate it, and your advice and your responses were so wise. They had so much wisdom and so much information behind it. That's
thank
very
you.
Necessary.
Thank you. Stop it.
And,
of course, honestly, I enjoyed, because, you know, I like to talk about, you know, how you are able to walk away from toxic. You know, it doesn't have to be your whole life story. It could just be a chapter, but you have to be willing to walk away.
Yes. And to even go further, you know, don't let somebody who done you dirty, this is exactly what you said before, just don't let somebody who's shown themselves, who showed who they really are, you know, come back to do it a second time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Sometimes us women, we we have emotions, we have feelings, and we want to really believe that the second time is going to be better, but then it's not, and we end up disappointed, you know, once again. So we just, and I can speak, attest to that, because I've just been through, I haven't been through a lot of, you know, relationships, but the ones that I've been through, or even like the talking stages that were turned into situationships or something like that, was mm-hmm. very like disappointing to me. And I feel like having us, but maybe we'll have high expectations for the man that we're speaking to, and they just end up falling flat. And mm-hmm. we have to cry it out, get angry, suck it up, and move on, and continue with life, because life is not going to stop.
So, exactly. There are better fish
mm-hmm.
when you swim a little further, girl.
Just keep swimming.
Yeah,
exactly. So I'm wrapping this up. I want to wrap this up on a positive note, I guess you can say. You know, I want to include positive information from Know Your Worth and Play It Safe, messages to daughters from Mexican origin mothers, and conversations about dating and romantic relationships by Laura F. Romo and Ida Hurtado. In this article, 132 participants were 132 mothers, and 132 daughters, immigrants from Mexico residing in the USA, who were recruited at schools, school parent meetings, and a local youth-based organization. Daughters ranged in age 13 to 16 years, with majority born in the USA, 71% being the majority, and the remaining 29% in Mexico. Sensitive topics such as sexuality and HIV transmission was discussed. Mothers ranged in age from 30 to 55 years, and almost all had been born in Mexico, 88%. And the remaining 12% in the USA. Five major categories were identified. Establishing a healthy, mature relationship is a developmental process. Knowing a person's true character, setting up personal boundaries. Sex is to be valued. Having your guard up against manipulation and maintaining an independent self. And all these categories, to me, are like the three branches of a mature, grown tree. That is what these categories are to me. They're the branches of, you know, tree branches of a mature, grown tree. And the root of the tree holding everything together and giving it strength is, what did we say? Self-love. Self-love is the root, and while the tree is growing more and more and intaking these vital information or nutrients, the branches are sticking out and forming, which I would say are these categories. There is nothing more special than a parent and child conversation. Most importantly, most significantly, a mother and a daughter conversation. There is so much wisdom and knowledge that comes from a woman who's experienced so much of life and has the opportunity to share it with her daughter. Take it in, soak it up, young women, because you'll grow to thank your mothers for giving you all these advice and guidance. Don't make it be in vain, because there are young girls out there that have nobody and are forced to learn the hard way. On their own, you know? And so I just want to, first of all, commend these mothers for taking the time out to, you know, involve themselves in this, I guess you can say, study or experiment, and talking to their daughters one-on-one and letting them know that it's important to value themselves and it's important to prioritize self-love, which is, again, the root. And I just think that in the beginning of this, you know, podcast, I was saying that, oh, parents, Latino parents don't talk to their children about relationships, or specifically don't talk to their daughters about relationships. But now reading this article, I learned that that's not true. That's absolutely not true. And in fact, they do talk to their daughters. They do have these conversations. They do make sure that they feed their daughters with as much advice as they can, because they experienced it when they were younger too. They probably don't want to make, they probably don't want their daughters to make, you know, mistakes as they grow up, which is very, very important. And the reason for my title, It Is Not Worth It, is not particularly because I don't think that, you know, girls cannot experience relationships, because like it or not, in this life, we are curious creatures. We are meant to explore. We are meant to find things out. We are meant to, you know, learn and grow. And so I can't say that, you know, young girls should be banned or should not date at all, but they should just not tolerate nonsense. They should not tolerate abuse whatsoever, because it can be very damaging to their mental health. It can be extremely damaging to their physical health. And I don't want that. I don't want that. So at the end of the day, it is not worth it. And Crystal, do you want to say anything about this? Because I definitely, I feel like I've been just talking for so long. But
no, it's okay. It's okay. You said everything you said was nothing but true. And I definitely agree, you know.
Yeah.
You know, self-love.
Self-love, self-love, self-love. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that.
That's the key to everything.
Mm-hmm. That is the key. And once we unlock that key, we can tap into our better self. And yeah, we won't tolerate anything. And so, yes, thank you, Crystal, so much for joining me again. I truly appreciate it. And I just want to quickly end this podcast episode by including some hotlines available to people living in New York State. And those hotlines are New York State Crisis Text Line, which is what you do is you text GOT5 to 741-741, the OASAS Hope Line, which is a 24/7 problem gambling and chemical dependency hotline. Call 81-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. If your life or someone else's life is in imminent danger, please call 911 or 988 if you are in crisis and need immediate help. Domestic violence. We discussed domestic violence in this podcast episode. If you or someone else is in a relationship or and is being controlled by another individual through verbal, physical, or sexual abuse or other tactics, please call 1-800-942-6906. NYC Well is New York City's free confidential support and crisis intervention for anyone seeking help for mental health and or substance misuse concerns. They are available 24/7. Text Well to 65173 or call 1-888-NYC-WELL. I want to end this podcast by saying abuse is serious and mental health should be taken seriously all the time, and this life is not getting any easier. And so prioritize yourself, because everybody deserves to live. Everybody deserves to enjoy life. This is what life is for. Thank you everybody for joining my podcast. Once again, I thank my special guest Crystal for joining me. Bye.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I appreciate it.
Of course.
Bye. Thank you.
No problem.